I want to read a passage of Scripture, Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19. Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19. This is a passage of Scripture that we've read so many times, I've quoted so many times. And before I begin, before I read this Scripture, I want to just tell you how I truly believe the Lord brought this passage of Scripture, this message. I want to preach on the will of God. Is what I want to preach on. That's the title of my message, The Will of God. And a few nights ago, during the night, I woke up. There was an incident that happened and it was concerning a will. A will. You know, right out of a will, last testament will. And during the night, I was thinking on this situation as it was. And the whole ball of wax came down to this. It was whether or not I could find, or one of my brothers or sisters could find, the original will of my mother. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. We all had copies. And during the night, I just kept thinking about it. And you try to talk to yourself and you try to tell yourself, now, this is enough. Just going to sleep. And, you know, that never works. Never works. I would think about, I don't know if I can find it. I don't know where it is. What do you do? Why is it needful? I got up the next morning and I was thinking about that. And as I began to think on that, the Lord brought this message to my heart right here. Through that, I think about that passage, all things. I lost a lot of sleep. A lot of sleep that night. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to to His purpose. And through that struggle that I had that evening, and we did find it. But through that struggle, the Lord brought this message to my heart, and I want to share it with you. Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19. And he, that is Moses, said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he, that is the Lord, said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, continuing my thought process from that night of restlessness, I would just say, humanly speaking, the wisest thing that any of us could do in this world, if you've got any kind of assets or you've got any kind of something that's going to be left to somebody else, the wisest thing that we could do, humanly speaking, is to make sure you put down on a piece of paper, a will, what you want, what your desire is. And have it notarized. Make it legal. Because with the preparation of a well-prepared will, misunderstandings or misrepresentations of things or how things should be handled at least is somewhat eliminated. There's always problems, humanly speaking. But with a will, a lot of those problems are erased, taken care of. It's important. Now here's my first point. Almighty God has a will. Now His will is found totally in Himself. in Himself. God has a will. I just read it. Moses said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. The Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul to quote that passage of Scripture. I want you to hold your place right there and turn to Romans 9. Again, we've read this, but this is pertinent. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. When Moses asked him, show me your glory, starting in verse 15, this is what the Lord said to him. When he said, show me your glory, here was the Spirit of God moving upon Paul to give us some understanding of what God was saying. Whenever Moses said, show me your glory, here was the Lord showing His glory. He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And all of these things were said that, in verse 23, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. When you look at the interpretation in Romans chapter 9 of glory, let me tell you what the root word is. I've told you this before. What the root word of that word glory is to think, to desire. Moses asked the Lord, show me your desire. Show me your will. Show me your glory. Show me what you think. Show me what you think. Here's the written will of God. This is the Scriptures. Almighty God has a will in Himself. How do I know what it is? Here it is, right here. God has a will. A will that's written down. These holy Scriptures, it's not a book written by men, penned by men, but the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. I've heard people say this, well, you know, the Bible, that was written by men. You know, it was penned by men. The Scripture says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Is this book the inerrant Word of God? Yes. And men can try to say what they will, but I'm telling you, this is it. These Scriptures, the written will of God, we know the truth and the surety of God's eternal covenant of grace. God has a will. How do we know what it is? This book. This book. God in old times spake unto the prophets. He spake through the prophets. The prophets are gone. Visions are gone. What do we got? We got this book right here. This is what we've got. This is all we got. That's all we need. God has a will. And through this written book, this will, the will of Almighty God, we know the surety of salvation unto a people of God's choosing. The Spirit of God moved upon Paul to write to a man named Timothy. He was writing to Timothy. But the Spirit of God was speaking to all God's people. And here's what the Spirit of God, in writing down the will of the Lord, the will of God, He said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Don't be ashamed of these Scriptures. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. How would we know the will of the Lord? How would we know without these Scriptures? How would we know the riches of His glory? How would we know what He thinks? Who can know the mind of the Lord? The Lord reveals it to us. So I know the Lord's got a will in Himself, and it's written down. It's penned. The Spirit of God in absolute wisdom, mercy, compassion, had men write it down. And here we are today, and we are in agreement. God's people are in agreement with this will right here. This is the will. I'll tell you something else about a will. Humanly speaking, all the beneficiaries and the blessings and the benefits of the beneficiaries are written down in the will. You get a will, go through all the stipulations. Who are they? I can tell you who's in my mama's will. I can tell you who it is. It's me and my brother and my two sisters. That's the only four. There's only four. That's it. Everybody that has a will, they got the beneficiaries, they got their the people. Who is this talking about? And it's got the benefits to them. All their earthly possessions, whatever. The beneficiaries and the benefits. The Lord has done that. Got a will, He's written it down. Now realizing that we're never in this life for sure going to perceive the fullness of the blessings that the beneficiaries of God are going to receive. We know something of the benefits because we see through a glass darkly. But for sure, I can tell you who the beneficiaries are of God's will. I can tell you who they are. They're the remnant according to election. They're the chosen people of God. And here's the description. You know, whenever I sat down and I had to make it out my will, and Glenn's got, you know, and we were doing that, and on these wheels, it's got the kids' names. It's got their addresses. It's got their socials. They got, you know, I think it's got, so maybe it don't have a social. But I tell you what, it's telling me exactly who it is. You know what I'm saying? It's exactly who they are. Girls has got their maiden name in there, and then their married name. This is who they are. This is who they are. God's beneficiaries. Let me tell you who they are. God put them in this book right here. 1 Corinthians 1:26-27. For you see your calling, brethren. Now here's the description of the beneficiaries of God. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble were called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things, the low-born is what that means, the dregs of society. You know, every believer that's hearing this right here says, yep, that's me. That's me. The base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That's what a believer says. That describes me. I'm not wise in myself. I'm not mighty in myself. I am. I'm just a poor, helpless sinner. Just the dregs. I'm a sinner. But that's who Christ came to save. He came to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Listen to this description, James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? Here's what a believer says. I don't love Him as I ought. I admit that. I don't love Him as I shall. But I love Him. I love Him. I don't think upon Him as I should, but I think on Him. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief for the truth. So I know that there's some beneficiaries, and they're written down in this book right here. Who are they? They're the poor. They're the despised. They're the base, the weak. That's who they are. That describes them. And they're made to know that, and they believe it. They believe it. They don't look to themselves. They don't. No. And how about the benefits? How about the benefits? You got a will. It's going to tell you what the one that's going to be leaving the beneficiaries. It's going to state what they got coming. The Lord's done that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, all to the saints, set apart ones. The set apart ones. The sanctified ones in Christ Jesus, which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Here's the benefits. Grace to you. The grace of God. God's grace. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What a benefit. What a benefit. What do you have? What are you getting? What do you got right now? I tell you what I got. God's been gracious to me. And I have peace with Him. Through the blood of Christ. That's what I got. That's what I got. He's been pleased to show favor to this unworthy vessel. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, we bless and thank the Lord God who has invoked spiritual blessings. I'm thankful I got something to eat today. I'm thankful I've got something to put on. I'm thankful. I'm thankful I got a car, got a house to go get in out of the weather. I'm thankful for that. But I tell you what, I thank God for these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What are they? What are those spiritual blessings? Well, look at verse 4. Here it is. According as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It matters not whether or not I'm without blame before others. It may just be you just don't know. I just kept it secret. You just hadn't found out yet. But before God, He's chosen us in Him that we should be holy, sacred before God, blameless before Him, blameless, no blame. What a blessing. Verses 5 to 7. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. God set the bounds of His mercy and compassion toward His elect before time. All this was settled. Foreordained His people to be adopted. They were His children. He said, I chose you to be my child. I chose you. I adopted you. Predestinated you to the adoption of children. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this. When He shall appear, we're going to be like Him. Wow. What a benefit. We'll be like Him. And we'll know Him as He is. What a benefit. What a benefit. Verse 8 to 12. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. All that God's done for His people, according to His grace and mercy, He did it according to His wisdom and understanding, and then made known to us what He did. He told us. His pleasure to gather together in Christ all His people in one in heaven and in earth. We the predestined ones that have obtained an inheritance. What is that inheritance? Well, I can tell you this. I know this according to the Scriptures. I know God's our shield and our exceeding great reward. I know that. We'll be with Him. We'll be in glory. Somebody said, well, what's it going to be like? I don't know, but I tell you this, whatever it is going to be more than I can imagine. More than I can figure out. I don't know. But just to know that by the grace of God, and how do I know I've got a part in this? Here, I've said this. I believe Him. I believe it. He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son hath life. That's what it is. He that believeth not hath not. I believe Him. I believe that Almighty God's done something for me I couldn't do for myself. I believe Him. I believe Him. I want to believe Him more. I want to. But I believe Him. So I know this. God has a will. I know He's got a will. And that will has been written down. I know it's written down. I'm reading it. And I know that it has beneficiaries. I know it does. And I know it's got a setting forth of the benefits. I understand we don't understand the fullness. So I know that. We do see through a glass darkly. I know that. But I know they're there. I know they're so. And He's got this will that's been written down. And I'm telling you, it's valid. It's valid. Whenever I have something, I gotta have it notarized, ratified, established by law. This is right. This is true. Somebody, a notary is gonna put a stamp on that. I attest. I sat there. I watched me sign that. That's Him. I know it's Him. I looked at His driver's license. That's Him. Yep, He really signed it. It's notarized right there. This book has been ratified. It's so. How do you know it's so? On the last night, on the very night He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ ate with His disciples, ate that last supper. And after He'd eaten the bread, and He took the cup. Now listen to what He said. This is 1 Corinthians 11:25. We always read this when we have the Lord's Supper. It says He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup." And what did it represent? His blood. He said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, what did he mean in closing? What did he mean? I'm told you, God's got a will. This will is written down. This will has beneficiaries. This will has got the benefits of the beneficiaries written in it. God's pleasure. It's written down. And this book, this will right here, is ratified. This is right. This is so. God says it so. God says it so. How do we know? God said it is. The old covenant of the law was confirmed. It was ratified to be so according to God's word by the blood of bulls and goats. I got scripture on that. Exodus chapter 24, verse 8. And Moses took the blood of bulls and goats and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. The old covenant of the law, it was ratified, said to be so by the blood of bulls and goats. But the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning the New Testament, and I'm not talking about these books that we read and we call the New Testament, which they are. They're the revelation of the Christ who has come. But the New Testament, when the Lord said, this is the New Testament in my blood, what did he mean? What he was saying was the will or the covenant of God's free and eternal grace established totally upon Christ and his finished work at Calvary. That work, that covenant, that shall never be replaced. That's what he's saying. This new covenant, the revelation of that covenant, was established and confirmed not by the blood of bulls and goats, but here's the ratification of this will. Here's the will. The beneficiaries, the benefits, and it's sealed. How? The blood of Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, when I see the blood, there's the stamp. There's the indelibly inscribed stamp. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. God has a will. God's got a people. God's told them their benefits in Him. And He sealed it with the blood of His Son. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.